Welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norman Goldman through the miracle of technology. I'm sitting in like a little room up here in Portland, Oregon, filling in for Norm, plugged into Norm's studio in L.A., and then kind of going out onto the airwaves across the country. It is one of the great things about our modern society is that we've managed to get the technology right. If we could only just bring the wisdom up to speed, I think we would be in good shape. And maybe, like I was saying, where we start is to bring wisdom to our political system, because we are running out of time here. Do you know what I mean? It's not just that the political system is kind of tail spinning kamikaze style into the ground. The planet is melting down, and we need new systems. We need new ways of doing everything. And so when we have these tiny little conversations where with John Boehner and Mitch McConnell and even Harry Reid or any of these people where they're gossiping and bickering like third graders, well, everything is going straight to hell. I mean, I don't think this is like, you know, every generation says, well, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. No, this one is, but it's not a handbasket. I don't know what it is, like a bobsled just careening down some melting glacier. That's how I see it. Let's go to calls before we break real quick. Let's go to line one. Let's go to Moses in Illinois. Moses, welcome to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman. What's up, Moses?
I want to thank you for your incisive comment that you just made a little while ago.
Thank you.
But I have some reservations about the things you were saying. For one thing, people seem to be sitting on their little derrieres, watching TV, football games, basketball, whatever the game may be, and they don't seem to pay attention to the world until it crashes around their head.
Right.
And I used to say to Norm many a time, maybe what we need is a French Revolution in this country. And I'm really to the point, and I'm really disheartened in my fellow people in this country, that they don't pay attention to anything until the food is taken out of their mouth, their clothes are taken off of them, and their heating is not there. We have people on both parties, but especially the Republican Party, who have been sold their souls to the devil 1,000 times over, and they don't even seem to see the problem. They don't care about their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. They don't care anything about what they're going to do to the planet. And I think it's time for us to have something really go wrong within the United States, which is the keeper of the whole world. If we don't do something, the whole world's going to go, not in a handbasket like you're saying, but right to Hades.
Right. A bobsled careening down a melting glacier. The problem with the French Revolution is that it was really bloody and ugly. And what I would like to think that as human beings, we have found a way to evolve in consciousness beyond the violence. That the problem is that we've tried violence in the past, and it just keeps leading us back to the same problem. So we need a shift in consciousness, and we need the political will to devise whole new systems. And that's going to be a lot of what I focus on. And I do appreciate the call. Thanks for the call, Moses. You know, that's what I'm going to be focusing on this whole time that I'm sitting in for Norm, is what does the paradigm shift look like? Not just in consciousness, but in reality, in the most pragmatic sense. Tomorrow I'm going to have a gentleman on named Jeremy Rifkin. You should check this guy out on the internet, R-I-F-K-I-N. He's going to be talking about the third industrial revolution. I think this guy is the smartest guy on the planet. Talking about becoming a post-carbon world in 40 years, because that's the imperative. Because if we don't do that, we're simply not going to make it, right? So we have to devise new systems, and those new systems will bring about new consciousness. But before we can devise those new systems, we need to find a way to mobilize the political will to make it happen. And that's where I agree with Moses. You have people in power right now that are so sick, so twisted, so blinded by a system that keeps them blinded that they can't see the higher good anymore. And that's where we, the people, come in. We have to insist on it. And that's where Occupy comes in, because I think Occupy is the best shot that we've had at real substantive global change, certainly in my lifetime. I can't remember the last time. Can you? Numbers here, 1-888-321-6001. I'm here all day. We're going to have some great guests. Mitch Rofsky is going to be here speaking about paradigm shifts. He's somebody with a whole new business model. We're going to be talking about his new business model. We're going to be talking about a little bit about something called the New Voice of Business as kind of an answer to the Chamber of Commerce. Very interesting idea. There are good ideas out there. They're just not getting through. And then in the third hour, David Swanson is going to be here. He's author of a new book called When We Outlawed War. I know it sounds like a political science fiction set in the future, but in fact, over 70 years ago, this country outlawed war, outlawed it, passed a law. This is the Norm and Goldman, where fierce independence is the norm. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Chris Walken in for Norman Goldman, and it's time to get crazy. I mean, really crazy on this political system. That guy Klugman, I threw him out. It's Norm's fault. It's Norm's fault. Blame Norm. I'm Adam Klugman sitting in for Norman Goldman. He said, do your impersonations on the show. I'm trying, man. I'm trying. But I just feel a little too serious about what's actually going on in this world to have too much fun these days. That's part of the problem. If you want to join the conversation, 1-888-321-6001. This is the Norman Goldman Show. The place where fierce independence is the norm. I love that slogan. So let's go to line two. Let's go to, I don't know who's on line two. Let's go to line two.
Hey, Adam. Ken,
who's this?
From Illinois. Ken.
From Illinois. Illinois. Ken from Illinois. Ken, welcome to the Norman Goldman Show.
Thank you very much, man. I loved your intro, by the way. That was inspiring. You hit the nail directly on the head. And I don't want to be the one that gives into despair, but really, to be honest, I don't see any way that we can change this system. There's no, let's look at our options, okay? Militarily, we can't fight our military. There's no way that we could have another revolutionary war and win. We would be decimated.
Right, they have all the guns.
You think, all right, well, we could do it by voting people out. Not enough Americans are awake to actually vote out the bums that are in office. The people that, the Democrats and the Republicans that are just working for the corporations. I mean, and the ones that are in there right now are not going to make any real change. They're going to keep going it same way every single day. What else do we have? We've got nonviolent protest. I mean, it's great to wake people up. All they do is spin it so that nobody cares. You know, the 3 months we've been occupying, there's still people at my work that don't even know about it.
You're kidding. You've got people at your work that have never heard of Occupy?
Absolutely. And I've got, I mean, I'm a U.S. Marine.
Wow.
I'm in the Marine Reserves in Chicago. And there's, you know, I try and spread it as much as possible and, you know, get out the words of, you know, liberty, democracy. You know, there's orders that we shouldn't follow. You know, by law, we should not follow them. You know, that's why they had the Nuremberg trials. That's why people got, you know, they said, oh, we're just following orders. That doesn't matter. You know,
right.
And I'm not going to be one of those people that get sent to prison because I was following orders. I'm going to either walk to the other side or drop my weapons and walk away.
Right.
And I really, I don't see any options.
But there's got to be hope in this equation somewhere, right? So if you believe the idea that with every problem, the solution is built into it, right? So it's embedded somewhere in the problem that we face is the solution that we need. And So here's kind of a slightly new age thought, but this is where I go with it. The idea is that we keep looking for the solution to the problems in the world out in the world, right? But what if the idea is this, and this is why I love the Occupy movement, that we are the solution. Now, we're actually meant that it's part of the whole human destiny. I'm going to get meta here for a minute, but that we bring the solution with us, that we are the solution to the problem. And that's why I like Occupy. We don't have to know the end game, Ken. What we need to do is just keep showing up. Keep showing up in the right spirit, in the very spirit that you said that I will not obey laws that are illegal. That the hope has to be, we just simply cannot live without hope. People can do better without food than they can do without hope. You can live on a little bit of food, but you can't live on a little bit of hope. We've got to not give up, Ken. We've got to believe that we are the solution, that we have the solution, and that if we keep showing up, it will present itself. I do appreciate the call. Keep the faith, brothers, sisters. We are the solution. We will find this solution. But we've got to just keep showing up and not give in to the temptation of despair. I get there too. We all get there. But we need to remind each other when we get there that we are the solution that we're seeking in the world. We brought it with us. That this is what we're supposed to do. We're going to fix this, and then what's going to follow this generation? It's like the whole Aquarian Age promise that once we address this fundamental human disparity within ourselves, that something will coalesce, something truly human that we can take into the future. Let's go to line three, JD in Chicago. Thanks for holding, JD. Welcome to the Norman Goldman Show. You're on with Adam Klugman.
Thanks, Adam. Can I congratulate you on being the first progressive talk show host that finally has come to the realization of the reality of where we are.
Well, thank you. What do you mean by that?
We are at a point of a total meltdown. There is no secret about it. The rich, the corporations, the people that run corporations are hiring their own private armies for their homes. They're building safe houses within their domiciles. They're building shelters. They're gathering weapons, and this is the reality, okay? I don't like this reality, but I don't think we have much to deal with because, let's face it, there has never been a major revolution in the world, including Gandhi, including Martin Luther King, which I was part of, okay, and also Kent the yuppies during the 60s, until it got bloody. It didn't get changed in any other station or country in the entire world, including the French Revolution, until it got bloody. And when it gets bloody, then people realize, finally, I'm killing my brother, and that's wrong. And when they see that, when they have to come face to face with it, then they might get enough common sense to do the right thing. But until that time, if you want water and you can't pay for it, the rich guy's not going to go buy you a bottle.
No, he's not, but we can't bring the blood with us. You see, that's the thing. I mean, I'm hoping that we can do this in a way that ushers in a whole new way of doing revolution. That's the goal. I agree with you. I see all the same problems that you see. My question is, where do we start? There is a place to start. We do have the solution. No problem comes without a solution. So let me ask you this, JD. If you were king of the world, if you were God for a moment, where would you start to reform the system that we're in now? What would be the first thing you would change?
I would, first of all, put a control on the bankers and the amounts of the ludicristic, if there is such a word, amounts of income that the people on the top that are playing with the banking and the investments are making. They are pulling all the money out of the system. I would require a living wage across the board, including here and everywhere else. There's plenty of food in this world for everybody to eat. The thing is it's the distribution, okay? There's plenty of oil and everything else throughout this world. We're not out of it yet. But it's the distribution, and as long as you can make things scarce, you can charge whatever you want. And as long as you can do that, you control people's lives.
Right. There's no shortage of good ideas. We have the means to feed everybody. We have the means and the good ideas to energize the entire world. So what are we missing, JD? What we're missing is the political will. And so at some fundamental level, human beings, there's something off. There's something twisted, sick, demented, too self-interested that we are here to solve. And if we can't solve that problem, we're not going to make it. So as much as it is an outside thing, it also is an inside job, right? It's starting with me and then moving out into the world and taking a stand for the principles and the change that I am still working with within myself. But I'm not here. I delivered that monologue, but not to bring up our despair. Sometimes we have to bring up the despair so that we can move through it, but we mustn't give up hope. I do appreciate the call. Thanks, JD. Great comments. Numbers here, 1-888-321 1-888-346-6001. We've got one more segment left. I want to hear from you. Again, the numbers are 1-888-321-6001. You're listening to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm sitting in for Norman Goldman. I'm Adam Klugman. If you want to know more about me, I have my own show, Mad as Hell in America. You can check me out at madashellinamerica.com. You can also send me an email at adam@madashellinamerica. I'm also looking at Norm's Facebook page. Go to Facebook and type in the NormanGoldmanShow.com. I'm looking at some pretty cool comments, which I'm going to read when we come back. You are listening to the Norman Goldman Show. This is the place where justice is served. Welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norman Goldman, and I must say, loving it. Norm has just such smart listeners. It's just great to talk to you guys. Great, and a great honor to be sitting in Norm's chair this holiday season. Have you been watching Fox News? They won't say happy holidays anymore. They just say Merry Christmas because they're sulking about this invented war on Christmas that they invented. Just drives me nuts. It's just, talk about lunatics running the asylum. 5 minutes on Fox News, and I need some kind of antipsychotic medicine. Anyway, let's go right to calls. Let's go to Pat in Seattle. You're on the Norman Goldman Show with Adam Klugman. What's up?
Hey, Adam, how you doing? I was going to tell you, you know, you were talking about that thing where you said we might not make it if people don't wake up and, you know, pull together, you know. The Dalai Lama a few years ago wrote a thing where he's saying, like, the entity we're feeding all this capitalism and the way the greed and the, you know, the no compassion. It's like we're feeding, like, this entity. It's like a non-living entity. It's like that Star Trek episode where they go to the planet and they find the planet's being run by a computer that's gone haywire, you know. It's like a worn-out paradigm, everything, the war, the way we deliver energy, you know, have the grids and stuff. We could have hydrogen fuel cells. It's just, we have to reinvent everything and take the oil money away from those oil people, because they're just going to force us to drink up the last drop of oil and watch the planet blow away like a potato chip in the wind, you know?
Potato chip in the wind. You know, I'm laughing, but it's not funny, man. But you're right. This idea, we're just dealing with these worn-out paradigms. I mean, I know that sometimes people, like, anybody who uses the word paradigm should be shot. But it's true, because we're operating on old modes of being. And we can't afford that anymore. So we really need to reinvent just about everything. Don't you think, Pat?
Yep.
I do. I mean, it's about reinventing ourselves and our systems. And there's it's kind of along two tracks. We need to be very clear that we are examining our systems and reinventing them. And in Europe, you know, they really are doing that. And I told you about this guy, Jeremy Rifkin, that I'm going to have on tomorrow for 2 full hours. We're going to be talking about this third industrial revolution, this notion that we need to reindustrialize the way we do everything, and that reindustrialization process also leads us to what he calls an empathic civilization. Right. There's a direct track. But in order to do that in this country, they're starting to have this conversation in Europe. But in order to do that in this country, it's going to take a lot of us to get that conversation started, saying, all right, let's throw this thing out and let's start again. And we don't know what that looks like, but we're willing to stand right on the precipice of this unknown thing that's coming and take a stand for what we know is right. So I appreciate the call, Pat. Thanks very much. Let's move to George in Chicago. George, you're on the Norman Goldman Show with Adam Klugman. What's up, George?
Hey, Adam. How are you?
I'm a little on fire today. How about you?
Well, here we're having a little bit of rain, so the fire's been put out a little bit.
Couldn't put the inside fire out.
Yeah. Yeah, the guys at the Occupy, ours is on a street called the South Street, which is our banking district.
Right.
Yeah, the weather's been off and on, so it's been a little bit difficult. Given the fact that it's like a concrete jungle here in Chicago, but I just want to get back to you're hitting on some really, really well points, and you were mentioning that you're going to have a guest on, I believe you said tomorrow, and you sort of took the fire out of my statement.
Not possible. Take another crack at it.
What you're asking, or not just you, but what's necessary that I think, and I don't want to get super spiritual or philosophical on this. I guess we're forced to go in that direction. I was telling the screener, one of the issues that I think we're having in this country, and not just the country, but the world, is if we don't see each other as humans, it will be very difficult for us to treat each other as humans. So for us to move from this, to me, sounds as if we're asking ourselves to make the next step of evolution. And
right.
That is to be able to sense each other, because you said an empathic society.
Empathic civilization.
Empathic civilization. I'm sorry, I misquoted.
It's okay. It's the same idea.
It becomes an idea that so many of us can't grasp, so we fear it. And when I mean us as not just America, this society, us as humans, the society. And it becomes this slippery slope for those of us who can understand or at least have an idea of this concept, for us to not judge those who do not have an understanding or an idea of this concept. Because it's very easy for the one to reject it to judge us. And so for us to not fall into that same path, for us to judge those who cannot understand it. And again, we're talking politics, and that's just the surface. Politics and how the government is operating and how dysfunctional it is and how it's so easy to mislead everyone and to say that it's the bank's fault. That is such
right.
The surface of the issue that it becomes this, keep the faith, but it becomes so hard for us to mire through it to get to that next level.
George, you're right on. I want to move on to other calls, but I really want to encourage you to listen tomorrow. Jeremy Rifkin, R-I-F-K-I-N. Thanks so much for the call. Check it out. Call tomorrow. Do a little research on this guy and come to this conversation. Jeremy Rifkin, R-I-F-K-I-N. I've got him for 2 hours. This is exactly what we're talking about. Let's go to Joan in Indiana. Joan, welcome to the Norman Goldman Show. You're on with Adam Klugman.
All right. Thank you for taking my call.
It's my pleasure.
You know, I voted for Obama, okay? But
mm-hmm.
I will not vote for him again. Okay?
You know, that's not the first time I've heard that, Joan.
Can you imagine 4 more years with this man? Can you we wouldn't have I don't think we'd have a civilization, okay?
Well, here's the only problem with that. Could you imagine 4 years with Mitt Romney? So
right.
And I'm with you. It's like the lesser of two evils still gets us
right.
Evil, right?
They don't want you to know Ron Paul. I'm sorry. This man is a constitutionalist, and even Norman was sending us on wild goose chases to different websites to read all the bad things about him or bad things they're saying about him. But this man is not a bad man. He's the most honest of all of them, and I think he can turn our country around.
Joan, I don't disagree with you. I'm taking a second look at John Paul myself, and thanks for the call. I think Ron Paul has some things to offer. When it comes to domestic policy, I make a sharp right turn. But his international policies make sense. And he's the only reasonably sane person running on the Republican ticket within 1,000 miles of that place. Let's go to Lawrence in Berkeley before we go to the break. Lawrence, welcome to the Norm Engelman Show.
Hey, how you doing, Alan?
I'm all right. It's Adam, but that's cool. You can call me Andy. You can call me Al.
Okay. Al, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. I'm fine. I wanted to say this, that if you're going to go somewhere, it usually helps to know where you're going in advance, right?
It does.
And it's clear that we cannot leave the economy in the hands of the capitalists and the corporations.
There you go.
We just can't, because
now you're talking.
Even if you have a reform, the capitalists will use their money to buy the government, which will make them more money and more power. And then they'll use the more power to get money, so then they'll get the government even more, until you get a final climax where they own everything and they have all the power, and the thing falls apart. And that's where we are now.
You know, you make a really good point. Because it's beyond our political system, right? We need to fundamentally redemocratize our economic system. So we need to take a look at capitalism kind of whole cloth. and say, does this really work? I had somebody call me on my own show, Mad as Hell in America, the other day, who said, you know, Adam, you keep saying the system is broken, but the reality is capitalism is doing exactly what it's supposed to do. It's working just fine, thank you very much. You're listening to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, in for Norm. This is the place where justice is served and where fierce independence is the norm.
Now, another hour of Smart Talk, 620 KPOJ, Portland's talk.
New York to the hills of Los Angeles, a voice is rising to serve justice. This is the Norman Goldman Show, the home of fierce independence, intelligent dialogue, and passionate logic is right here, right now. Sitting in for Norm, here is Adam Klugman, host of Mad as Hell in America Radio. Heard Saturdays on AM 620, Portland's Talk, KPOJ.
Welcome back to the second hour of the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norman Goldman on this, as I've said, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa season. How's your season going this year? Mine's going pretty well, but I generally have a lot of anxiety around this time of year. I don't know why, but I'm really looking forward to spending time with my family, having a little quiet time. Even though I'm half Jewish, I've always celebrated Christmas, so I'm looking forward to half of me celebrating Christmas with my family and the Jewish half going, I don't know which way to go. We've been talking about paradigm shifts. We've been talking about new ways of doing things and kind of coming to accept the idea that the way that we've been doing things up until now maybe has gotten us here, but is no longer working and serving us. And in a minute, we're going to have someone named Mitch Rofsky on, who is CEO of an organization, a company called the Better World Club, and I'm going to tell you more about that. He's going to come on to talk about a new kind of business model, and then we're going to kind of expand that conversation out. And as we have the conversation, I want you to keep in mind this is not a conversation that we are having at you. This is a conversation we want to have with you. So calls, we want to hear from you. Join in the conversation once we get it started. 1-888-321-6001. That's 1-888-321-6001. This is the Norman Goldman Show, the place where justice is served. And let's go to calls. Let's go to Sam. Sam, welcome to the Norman Goldman Show. You're on with Adam Klugman.
Oh, hi, Adam. Love your show. It's great.
Thanks. I'm having fun.
I was just listening to you. I think it's a great show. And I was thinking about Egypt, and I was thinking about reference that you keep making to Mad as Hell. I'm not going to take it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And just combinations of all sorts of things that we've all sort of had in our past and present. And I was thinking just recently I've had an identity theft situation, and I thought as I was listening to you, but what's happened around the world is our identities have been stolen. We can't even recognize our governments anymore because they don't exist. Democracy certainly doesn't exist here. And I was thinking what we are continuing to do is we keep feeding the coffer even though our identity's been stolen. And why aren't we thinking in terms of mass revolution, peaceful revolution? Stop feeding that coffer. Come April 15th, pay your state taxes, but don't pay the federal taxes until they start spending that money on what we want it to be spent on, until they start justifying where they've spent what they've squandered.
I really like this idea of identity theft. Obviously dealing with it at the literal level can be really difficult, but this idea that identity theft is the metaphor for our times, right? That somebody has absconded with our identity as human beings, and that's part of what we're reinstating, and part of what we have to reclaim is this human identity that has been completely lost in the madness of our corrupt political system, not just nationally, but globally, right? I really like that idea. But how do you feel about the Occupy movement as a movement to reclaim that? I mean, I think not paying your income taxes, that's something, if you want to get involved with the IRS, you know, go for it. I think that's a bold moral and political stand. But even beyond that, I think that the Occupy movement represents really an unprecedented opportunity in human history to reclaim that stolen identity. What do you think?
I think what it's representing is a visual of how disturbed everyone is, and it's not just the people who've been uncomfortable for decades now. It's the middle class. And I think that visually we're seeing that we're pretty much all on the same page. People are showing themselves that have never. People are upset that didn't care. It didn't affect them. It didn't affect their lives. So visually we're seeing that we have support now. And I think that the only way, if, in fact, we just took a stand and said, we are not giving you the money to play with. We're not giving you the trillions of dollars to bail out banks before we even knew about it. We're just not giving you the money to do to create your wars.
And what would be your first demand? So say that were to be effective. Say we could get enough people to withhold the money that funds this corrupt government. What would be the first thing you'd ask for, Sam?
Well, I think I'd first ask, why did we gear up the war industrial complex? I mean, who's benefiting from that?
Yeah, no, the people who benefit, who make money from war. One of the first thing I think I would do is money out of politics. I want a complete reform of our campaign election system so that we have money out of politics. I want making money from war to be made illegal. I think that that would dramatically change the way business is done in this country. Sam, thanks so much for the call. I want to encourage you to stay on for the third hour because peace is something that's really important to me. I think this is a foundational principle that we're talking about that is the beginning of the real paradigm shift that we need to take a stand for it. We're going to have David Swanson on in the third hour, who's written a book called When the World Outlawed War. Whether you know it or not, war is actually illegal and has been illegal since 1929. David Swanson is going to be here to help us figure out what happened. So I want to go to our next guest in a minute, but I wanted to just chime in a little bit on something that she said about mad as hell. Mad as hell is not about raging and fist pounding. Mad as hell is about formulating a creative response. Fist pounding and raging is what we're seeing from the Tea Party, right? Rage. And you always know that you're in the presence of rage because it wants to destroy things. Right. And look at the Tea Party agenda. What is the Tea Party agenda? To dismantle the government. Right. But that is just a complete failure of imagination. It isn't about dismantling the government. It isn't about quantities of government, less government, more government. This is about better government. Right. And the way we get better government is by each of us formulating a creative response to the injustices that we perceive in the world and then never yielding on it. What injustice gets you mad as hell? Find it out. Listen to it. Don't let anyone talk you out of it and then respond from it. All right, we're going to bring on our next guest, but just so you have a little pen and paper, write it down. The number's here, 1-888-321-6001. I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norman Goldman. I want to bring on our next guest. His name is Mitch Rofsky. He is president of Better World Club, Inc. His experience represents nearly two decades of leading businesses and that market environmental products and nonprofit organizations that support environmental stewardship. Prior to the merger, Mitch was president of the American Consumer Insurance Agency. And prior to that, he was president of Working Assets Capital Management, which managed one of the leading socially screened mutual fund families in the nation. Mitch was also formerly a Nader Raider. He was he plays it down, but I like this about him. And he was also the first chair of the Business for Social Responsibility. He is currently president of Better World Club, America's only environmentally friendly auto club. Mitch Rofsky, welcome to the show.
I am. Thanks a lot.
Glad to have you here. So let's start at the beginning. We're going to have to take a break in a minute, but let's just give people a teaser. You're president of a company called Better World Club. Your company self-describes as an environmentally friendly auto club. I didn't know there was an environmentally unfriendly auto club. Why don't you clue us in?
Well, actually, when I was, as you mentioned, running American Consumer Insurance, shortly after we started, and we started as really the most socially responsible insurance agency in the country. We're providing our customers with all kinds of information about, child safety seats and automobiles. And Nader was kind enough to give me information on cars and other things. But shortly after we started, the environmental community came to me and said, Mitch, can you help us out? Because we fight AAA all the time. AAA is part of the highway lobby. And I said to them, gee, well, I'm happy to help you, but maybe we should be competing with AAA rather than rather than just fighting them politically. And Adam, as you may know, AAA virtually never tells its members what it's lobbying on, but we're fighting them all over the country on issues.
And what does it lobby on? I mean, what does the AAA, like I said, I mean, I've been a member of AAA since I've started driving. I had no awareness, and I bet a lot of other people didn't have any awareness that the AAA lobbies for a lot of kind of ungreen, unenvironmentally friendly things.
Oh, yeah. Just as an example, right now we're fighting them on the 3-foot rule in California. The 3-foot rule would enable a driver to cross a yellow line in order to give a bicyclist 3 feet. And AAA has said that they wanted Jerry Brown to veto that bill because a motorist who didn't provide someone 3 feet and who didn't slow down sufficiently could get a ticket. And we asked Jerry Brown to sign that bill, and Jerry Brown recently vetoed it. There's one example.
Jerry Brown vetoed it. This is the liberal Jerry Brown?
Yeah, this is Governor Jerry Brown in California.
Wow.
AAA has real clout, you know. We're fighting them on bike lanes in various places across the country. The head of AAA in the Mid-Atlantic said that the bike is the enemy of the car. We're fighting them on greenhouse gas regulation of automobiles. We fought them in California over an initiative to finally have market rate oil drilling royalties in California, and Southern California AAA joined with Chevron to defeat that initiative because they were arguing that gas prices would go up, if you can believe it.
AAA and Chevron.
Yeah.
That's doesn't sound like a very cozy partnership to me. Our guest is Mitch Rofsky. He is president of Better World Club, America's only environmentally friendly auto club, which offers 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance for cars and for bikes. And we're having this discussion under the umbrella of new models and new ways of doing things. I am a member of Better World Club, feel a whole lot better about driving my car. When we come back with Mitch, we're going to talk about some of the other services that Mitch offers, including green insurance. We're going to figure out how that actually works. You're listening to the Norman Goldman Show. This is the place where justice is served. We'll be right back.
620 KPOJ, Portland's Talk.
Welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norman Goldman here on this Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa season. I hope you're having a beautiful season filled with love and gratitude and not too much glominess and materialism, because we all get a little sucked into that, God knows. So our guest is Mitch Rofsky. He is president of a company, actually, called the Better World Club, America's only environmentally friendly auto club, offering 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance for cars and bikes. And the reason that I asked Mitch to come on is because we started this hour talking about new ways of doing things and new ways of where to spend our money in ways that really shift the world. That is one good place to start. Mitch Rofsky, welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show.
Yeah, good to be here, Al.
So let's talk about this. In a minute, I want to go on and talk about the work that you're doing for New Voice of Business, because I think that's incredibly important and relevant. The whole banner of this show has been about new ways of doing things, paradigm shifts. But first, just tell me a little bit more about Better World Club. You offer something called green insurance. I really want Norm's listeners to hear about this, because this is how we change the world just a little bit at a time, by voting with our dollars. So tell us about this.
Yes, voting with our dollars is incredibly important, and I'm glad you're raising it, Adam. Before we get into specifics about what Better World Club is doing, let me just point out that what the potential economic power of progressives is. I mean, we're looking at progressives having the fourth or fifth largest gross domestic product in the world. The United States, of course, has the largest economy in the world, but progressives have buying power that reaches or exceeds that of Germany, which is has the fourth largest gross domestic, or the fourth largest economy in the world.
Just progressives.
And you can see just progressives.
Well,
okay, you're talking about roughly $3 trillion, a little over $3 trillion of economic power.
That's a lot of economic power.
And so if people just voted consciously with their dollars, the impact would be huge.
Well, and we saw a little bit of that when people were moving their money out of big banks. Well, there was something like $4.5 billion got moved out of big banks and into credit unions. I thought that was a powerful statement. What did you think of that?
Well, I agree with that. That's exactly the kind of thing that we should be looking at. That's exactly the kind of thing that progressives need to be doing.
Right.
Progressives have to learn how to use the marketplace and to support those business people who don't believe that the only value, that the only thing a corporation should be doing is maximizing profits. I mean, one of the major divides in this country is between conservative economists who believe that's the only purpose of the corporation, is to maximize profits for shareholders, and what I think are the majority of the American people, and what I also believe are, if not a majority, a huge number of business people who feel that business is about more than that. It's about enhancing not just financial capital, which it has to do. I want to be clear.
Right.
I am not saying that that is not a perfectly appropriate role for the corporation, but it also has to be enhancing environmental and social capital at the same time.
Well, that seems to lead right into the conversation about the work that you're doing with an organization called New Voice of Business. And the website
hold
is
on,
NVOB.
Hold on one second. Let me jump into that in one moment, though, because you did ask me a question, and I do want to answer it. Because Better World Club, of course, represents exactly the kind of business we're talking about. Earlier, we were talking about how we oppose AAA on legislation across this country. But that's not all we do. We are also offering any number of environmental services that nobody else offers. So, for example, you mentioned it in your introduction, we provide the only nationwide bicycle roadside assistance in the country. So we're serving not just cars, but bikes as well. If you have a hybrid or an electric car, we provide you with a discount on our membership fees. If you show us a 30-day mass transit pass, we provide you a discount on your membership fees. We give 1% of our gross to environmental cleanup and advocacy. And you mentioned green auto insurance. When you buy auto insurance from us, we give you a free carbon offset. We were the first travel company in the country to offer carbon offsets, and you get a free one when you buy auto insurance from us. And that's just a few of the things we do in order to enhance environmental capital and social capital, as well as financial capital.
So this is a perfect example of what we're talking about how we vote with our dollars. This costs you no more money than it does if you are a member of the AAA, right? I mean, it is priced comparably, is it not?
That is exactly right. Not only there are 60 different AAA regions across the country. We're cheaper than most of them, but when we're not, we'll match their price.
So this is exactly what we're talking about. So for me, when I heard about this, there was absolutely no reason in the world not to become a member of Better World Club. BetterWorldClub.com is the website. We're going to have to take a break here in a minute. When we come back, Mitch, I want to talk a little bit about this new voice of business. If you're ready to move on, I know that I am, because I think that this is really important. And talk a little bit about the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, because I don't think people really understand how kind of virulent the U.S. Chamber of Commerce has become. And we really need an answer to that. I'm going to read a report when we come back from Think Progress about how they behaved in 2010. The Chamber of Commerce is not a friend of the American people. Am I right?
Hey. I'm happy to talk about it when we come back.
All right. You're listening to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman. I'm in for Norman Goldman. This is the place where justice is served and fierce independence is the norm. We'll be right back.
From the right, stay a while. We may change your thinking. This is Portland's Talk, 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norman Goldman on this holiday season. So glad to be here. And through the miracle of technology, I am sitting in Portland, Oregon, plugged into Norm's studio in L.A. and reaching out to the entire country. It is a fantastic thing. And like I was saying earlier, one of the things that this culture has done right is we've really technologically amazing. Now, if we could just bring the wisdom up to meet the cleverness, we'd really have something going. And that's what we're talking about, the kind of paradigm shift that brings the wisdom alongside the cleverness. It is not enough to be clever. We must also be wise. And it is not enough to be wise. We must also be clever. And these two things temper each other. And tomorrow I'm going to have on a gentleman named Jeremy Rifkin, who is both clever and wise. And we're going to talk about how we get from the madness of where we are now to a post-carbon era in 30 to 40 years with reinvented systems, with whole new priorities. This is quite a gentleman, and I hope you will join me tomorrow. Right now on the show, we have someone else who is doing some very cutting-edge work, Mitch Rofsky. He is president of Better World Club, America's only environmentally friendly auto club with 24/7 nationwide roadside and bike assistance. BetterWorldClub.com is the website. Mitch, welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show.
Hey, great to be here, Adam.
All right, so let's move on. Better World Club, check it out. Go to BetterWorldClub.com. If you're a member of AAA, move your money over. We've been talking about voting with our dollars. I'm a member. I encourage you to become a member. One way we change the world is by voting with our dollars. In the earlier segment, Mitch Rofsky was saying that, what was it? What was the number? $4 trillion worth of economic power that progressives have?
Just over $3
trillion. $3 trillion in purchasing power just in the progressive community in this country alone. That's a whole lot of persuasion. So I'd like you to do some work. Tell us a little bit about this work that you do with an organization called the New Voice of Business.
New Voice of Business is an organization that has largely been based in California, has done some very good work there, but now wants to go nationwide and take on the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I encourage everyone to go to nvob.org, the website, nvob.org, and take a look. You can sign up for free right now. We're looking for business people to join us. There are thousands of members already, but as I said, most of them are concentrated in the West, and little by little we'll be moving across the country. But the Chamber of Commerce, what we're responding to is that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce claims that its opinion is the business opinion in the country, and that just isn't the case. You were mentioning in my introduction very nicely that I worked for Ralph Nader back in the day.
You were a Raider, a Nader Raider.
Well, I was more or less at the end of the Raiders. I'm not even sure the Raiders would consider me a Raider.
You were a Raiderette. Okay. A Nader Raiderette.
But I did work at Congress Watch. We're lobbying up on Capitol Hill for 5 years. One of the things that I perceived very quickly after I started work was just how conservative all the business organizations were, including the chamber. And I said to Nader, I just couldn't believe how what they felt the average business person was. As I said to Ralph, my parents were both business people, but they were both Hubert Humphrey Democrats. They weren't laissez-faire Republicans.
Right.
And so I felt the chamber then was out of step with millions of business people. But today, they've moved so much farther to the right than they were then.
And the New Voice of Business is kind of an answer to the Chamber of Commerce. I'm going to read a report from Think Progress, but first I want to go to calls. We have a call from Rich. He wants to talk to us. Rich, welcome to the Norman Goldman Show. You're on with Mitch Rofsky and yours truly, Adam Klugman.
Oh, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was curious about what your guest thinks, what price the gallon of gas should be.
Ah, good question.
Well, my own my feeling is that to take a step back, the marketplace isn't perfect, and one of the obvious places the marketplace isn't perfect is when it comes to the environment, and that producers can impose costs or what are called externalities in economic terms on innocent third parties. And the most obvious, example of that is pollution, and I believe that costs should be those externalities. External costs should be internalized. In other words, we should be doing a calculation as to what the environmental and the healthcare impact of fossil fuels are, and that's really what a gallon of gasoline should cost. I don't have what the exact figure is, but I know that gas in the neighborhood of $3 is much too cheap.
Well, certainly it's much too cheap, but I think one of the things that happens when we talk about externalities, and just so that people are clear, externalities are the hidden costs, say the how do you factor in the environmental costs of burning a gallon of gas, and then how do we factor that into the actual price? And then I think the nature of the question that Rich was asking was you know, should it actually reflect those external costs? I think it should, but then I think that those costs should then be internalized and let the oil companies pick up the cost of the externalities that are the impact of burning that gallon of gas and not pass it on to the consumer. What do you think about that?
Well, actually, I hate to say it, Adam, but I think that may be unrealistic. Having said that, however, with cap and trade, New Voice of Business, a business's position, is not cap and trade, but it's something closer to what's known as cap and dividend, which is that we want to see, and this is not true just for fossil fuels, we want to see it everywhere, but let's start with fossil fuels. We want to see accurate pricing. It would be beneficial to force an appropriate price for gasoline, okay, through the tax system, and then to give that money back to consumers to make the choice. Now we'd be looking at whatever $6 gasoline, but obviously at that point alternatives become viable, and then it would be up to the consumer to make the choice. Okay, and I do not believe that with gasoline that truly reflected those external costs,
which would be more like 8 or 10,
same choice, even if they got all their money back to make their choices.
Right, that's true. Let's talk a little bit about the Chamber of Commerce, and thanks for the call, Rich. I do. It's a really good question because it really speaks to the heart of, you know, how do we account for the true costs of the things that we're using on this planet and the social and environmental impacts that never get factored in to, say, the price of a gallon of gas. But let's talk a little bit about the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I know that you were saying they've become a little more kind of noxious even when you were part of Nader's team. But I'm looking at here something from Think Progress. I'm going to read a little bit. The largest attack campaign against Democrats in 2010 was waged by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce that can raise and spend unlimited funds without ever disclosing any of its donors. Remember this controversy. This is not an organization that's all about let's do good business and better business. This is about the chamber has a real agenda. The chamber spent an unprecedented $75 million to try to defeat candidates like John Conway, Barbara Boxer, Jerry Brown, Joe Sestak, and they aired more than 8,000 ads on behalf of GOP candidates, Senate candidates alone. So we've got a Chamber of Commerce that is very, very much on the side of big business and, in fact, is leading the charge and to kind of add insult to injury is also raising money overseas to help defeat progressive voices here in this country. Do I have it right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was an element of what you just said that is extremely important for people to recognize, which is you use the term big business. The Chamber has an image of being a grassroots business organization. Mm-hmm. It supposedly is all of these small businesses getting together and lobbying the government and meeting each other, etc. When in fact, the U.S. Chamber, the national chamber, isn't that at all. It's a representative of big business. It's bought and paid for by big business. So it is just a classic organization where it has been able to promote itself in a way that is exactly opposite of what it really is.
Yeah, there's a report where they were kind of collaborating with Karl Rove and those organizations to kind of come up with these ads that really obviously represent in Occupy terms the 1%. And so this new voice of business that you're coalescing is really trying to formulate an answer to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which has become noxious to the interest of the people.
Yeah, I mean, let me give you an example, which is that the chamber is out there saying that it's Obama's economic policies and the uncertainty that they generate and the regulation that is holding this economy back. Right. We did a survey of our members, and our members, over 90% of them, said it wasn't regulation, it wasn't uncertainty, it was the lack of consumer demand that was holding their businesses back.
So what are the implications of that?
And yet the chamber can say, oh, look, what we're saying is the opinion of business. And it's just not the case.
So where do we start? I mean, what is the new voice of business? What's agenda one on the new voice of business? And NVOB is the website. And if you want to learn more about Mitch Rofsky and Better World Club, you can go to betterworldclub.com. It is America's only environmentally friendly auto club with 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance for cars and bikes. But back to my question, post plug. What is agenda number one for the new voice of business, and how are they going to address this?
Well, the right at the top of our list are two policy items. The first was you alluded to earlier, which is getting the money out of politics. I mean, our politics are completely distorted by money, as I don't have to tell you or your listeners. And the second thing has been alluded to as well, which is getting accurate pricing for all products in the United States. The marketplace, in my terms, the marketplace is essential but not perfect. And one of the ways that it's imperfect is by not recognizing external costs, our pricing is totally thrown off. And we need, it's only the government that can correct that. Or to put it differently, when the marketplace is, conservatives believe that the government, that the marketplace is perfect. Socialists believe that not only that the marketplace is perfect, but that it maximizes human welfare. Socialists believe the government maximizes human welfare. Liberals believe it's the interaction of the marketplace and the government. And it's a regulated marketplace, a regulated capitalism that maximizes human welfare. Part of that regulation is to get accurate pricing, and that's one of the things that New Voice of Business is fighting for.
Mitch Rofsky has been our guest, Better World Club. He is president of Better World Club. BetterWorldClub.com is the website. It is America's only environmentally friendly auto club. We've been talking about his business and the idea of a whole new way of doing business, doing some work with a very interesting organization called New Voice of Business. NVOB.org is the website. We have to go to break, Mitch, and I want to take your calls, 1-888-321-6001. But your parting shot, I'm going to go to some callers after this, but your parting shot to Norm's listeners.
We hope you will come to BetterWorldClub.com, take a look at our e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt. You don't have to be a member to get Kicking Asphalt, which has been called the Onion of corporate newsletters. And we also hope that all the business people out there will go to NVOB.org, sign up, it's free. We're going to continue to be doing surveys and letting Washington know what business people actually think, not what the Chamber of Commerce is telling them to think.
Mitch Rofsky, president of Better World Club, betterworldclub.com is the website. Thanks so much for coming on the Norman Goldman Show. I'm sure we'll have you back on to discuss other things. Thanks again.
Hey, Adam, I appreciate it.
All right, so if you want to talk to me before the big break, remember that in Dr. Strangelove, he'll see the big board before the big break, 1-888-321-6001. That's 1-888-321-6001. You're listening to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, in for Norm, on the only place where justice is served and where fierce independence is the norm. We'll be right back.